Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. On this blessed Tuesday, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive. A message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Having a prayer request, I pray with you. Having a question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus, I ask it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending to his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for this day you've made. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you have given us to assemble together once again. Father, we dare not take this journey without you into the Word of God, so we ask that you would accompany us in your Word by your Spirit. And dear Lord, I pray that every soul that is tuned in to this broadcast that is seeking truth, may they find it. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us this very day. And Lord, we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. I want to make a couple announcements before I go on. Number one, for those of you that are first-time listeners, you see the follow button on the page you listen to me to. Click on it. It's going to ask for your email information. The purpose of that is that whenever we create a broadcast, you'll be automatically alerted through your email. And even though we primarily come on at 7 p.m. nightly, sometimes we might have to create a broadcast or do an earlier broadcast. So, hey, hit that follow button and put in your email information so you can be alerted whenever we get through a broadcast. Now, the second thing I want to announce, that for those of you that are first-time listeners, we believe that the Bible contains the Word of God, but also God has caused two more books to go with the Bible to come forth. One called The Record of the Nephite, which is a record of a people that live on this continent during prehistoric times, and how the Lord dealt with them and giving his statutes, his judgment, and his commandments. And another book called The Word of the Lord, which is a book of messages that the Lord Jesus had been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as promised in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4, Acts chapter 3, Revelation 14 and 6, Deuteronomy 18 and 18. Today, and I believe I'm going to be strictly coming from the Bible, today I'm doing what goes with the series on curses. For those of you that have been following on Blog Talk Radio, on Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast, notice that I got like two or three different series going on. And this is one of them is dealing with curses. And I pray that you all would listen closely to these parts that I'm doing on curses, because Lord say the same, there are going to be things I'm going to be speaking on that's connected to this series. And you will see that as I've done this, if you want to call it a breakdown parts concerning curses or individual parts, you will see how that it all comes into play with the other things that I'm going to mention. And so the title of this message tonight is Two Basic Sins That Lead to Curses. The two basic sins that lead to curses. Now, there are different types of sin per se, like abomination, iniquities, wickedness, you know. But tonight I want to deal with the two basic ones, where either you could commit the one or the other, okay? And for the most part, in the body of Christ, this is not mentioned a whole lot. It is mentioned sometimes. You know, I'll share with you guys that there are some, for example, in the body of Christ, there are some what you call hot topics, and there are some topics in the body of Christ that I call sizzling. They're just hotter than hot. Well, these two basic sins is not straightly at times addressed. Now, sins are mentioned, but these two basic sins here, to me, I say this. If a person, and I know we don't always think of what we need to at times and everything, but if you keep these two basic sins in mind, you, number one, for most part, is going to have something to repent about. Or number two, you're going to have something to address God to help you bring to your remembrance whatever you need to repent about. Now, you say, well, Brother Nate, kind of sound like you confused me. Okay, let's go on and you'll see what I'm saying. Now, the two basic types of sin, we're going to look at one of them. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Okay. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Because these two basic sins can, you know, the last series I did on curses, I think I did it on where I talked about what caused curses to come about, and the number one thing is sin. Okay, Adam caused the death to come upon all men. That death was a curse. How did it come? By him sinning. Okay, and we can cause curses to come on our lives because of sin. So this first one that I want to deal with you about is called the sins of commission. The sins of commission. Now, you may say, well, Brother Nate, what is the sin of commission? The sin of commission is when we commit or do that which God told us not to do. Okay? I'm going to read that again. The sin of commission is when we commit or do that which God told us not to do. For example, look at verse 28. The Lord using Apostle Paul to tell us this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, okay, that he may have to give to him that need it. Now, if you look in that verse there, question, what was it that God said not to do? He said steal. So when we steal, we are doing that which God told us not to do. Therefore, that is a sin of commission. And that can open up a door for a curse to come, okay? Give you an example. And I'm going to give you this example because it's sad to say that the church world, I mean, has drifted off into error on this thing. But let's talk about tithing. Now, in Malachi chapter 3, a question was posed in a larger sense in going to the believers today. So would a man rob God? When you rob somebody, you steal it from them. And the Lord said in that third chapter of Malachi that you are cursed with a curse for robbing them, okay, which is stealing. And so when God tells us not to do something and we do it, that is a sin of commission, okay? Now, I want you to notice something else in this 28th verse. As my brother Lee would say, sidebar. Notice that the Apostle Paul said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Okay, working with his hands, the thing which is good, okay, which is good. Amen. He ain't talking about you laboring with your hands to sell crack or cocaine, okay. Here, he said, which is good. So, ain't no any kind of preference you doing any kind of thing to get money is acceptable with God. But notice the last part of the verse when he said that he may have to give to him that needeth. And I'm pointing this out because, and you guys may have heard me say this on one of the broadcasts before, but I believe personally there's times that we as Christians, we don't see the bigger picture, even in the financial blessings we get. Now you say, what do you mean? Well, we don't think about how can I help others. Now some of you say, well, I do that. Yeah, you might do it at times. Now, I believe that no doubt there's a few out there who are very much more committed to giving finances or financially or materially helping people, but we all ain't doing it, people. See, it's like for many of us, and some of you can more or less vouch for this, I guarantee you that when you ask God for financial blessing, not all of you, but some of you, when you got it and you got more than what you asked for, you didn't think about, okay, Lord, who can I give to? See, as I shared with you guys once before, the Lord, since the year 20, well, overall, since the year, I would have to say 2016. I used to say 2017, 2018, but no, it's actually 2016 because we had bought a vehicle that year. And I remember what I said to my wife, but the Lord had me thinking bigger than just ourselves. You say, what do you mean, Brother Nate? Just like, for example, when we got the vehicle, now we had a Ford Expedition. And as our children were growing up and we have four kids, the Ford Expedition was very much needed, very roomy, you name it. Okay. When the Ford Expedition was about on its closest last leg, we was looking to get another vehicle. And at that time, only two of the kids was left in the household. They was like, my son may have been maybe a year out. I think he was a senior in high school. So he's like more or less maybe overall, what, 2 years away from out the house, you know, if you don't count going to college or whatever. And then my baby girl was more like, 3 years out, okay? So basically, because two of our kids was grown and already out. So when we was on the parking lot, car lot, looking for a vehicle, we even test drove a car and it was, nah, it ain't going to work. And so I guess my wife was thinking, well, since the kids are just about out the house, we won't need no big SUV, you know, utility vehicle now. And so God had given to me in my spirit. And when we had been looking around, didn't find nothing. It was almost getting dark. And as we were walking back to the building, we come across this Kia Borrego SUV utility. And I stopped. I said, wait a minute, let's look at this. Now, we had passed the vehicle when we walked out to the lot. And I looked at it. And then my wife said these words to me that I didn't think of to say. It wasn't that I planned to say this to her, but she said, when I was looking at the vehicle, she said, Nate, you want another SUV vehicle? I said, you know what? I said, yeah. I said, you never know who you have to help. And people, let me tell you something. That wasn't something I rehearsed to say to her. That came at that moment, okay? That came at that moment. So I say that to say this as we looked at this 28th verse here, that notice he said that let man work with his hands or labor with his hand that which is good that he may give to him that need it. So God is saying you working for your finances don't supposed to be all about you. You understand that? Some Christians say to say it's all about them. So when God give them more of what they ask for, they don't even have a mind to say, okay, Lord, who can I help? You get what I'm saying? This is why, see, God wants to bless his people with more than enough so he can use them to help other people. But some of his people are so selfish that, you know, hey, you know, he can't use them, okay? But anyhow, we're talking about the sin of commission. And here he said, let him that steal, that stole, steal no more. So whenever God tells us not to do something, and we do what he tells us not to do, we are committing the sin of commission. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, let's go there. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Because like I said, this type of sin can open up a door for a curse as well. Like I told you, Malachi 3, the Lord said, would a man rob God? Then the Lord said, you know, you don't pay the tithe. He said, you curse with a curse. Remember, the curse being threefold, death, sickness, and poverty. And when the law of God was broken, when God, like God said in Deuteronomy 28, through Moses, if you don't heed diligently the voice of the Lord, these things will happen. So when the voice of the Lord say, hey, don't do this, and we do it, we are committing a sin of commission, and we will open a door. We can open a door for a curse to come our lives. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Now, look what the Lord had the Apostle Paul tell us. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that we have put off the old man with his deeds. That's that old spirit, old fleshly spirit. But look at what the order was. Lie not to one another. So God tell us not to lie, not to lie to each other. But when we go lie to each other, then we're committing a sin of commission. Okay? We're doing that which God told us not to do. Again, that can open up the door for curses. Okay? Amen. When God say, don't do it, and we do it anyhow, it can open up a door for curses. See, sometimes some people think nothing of it, and when God has told them not to do it, and they do it, they do the thing anyhow, and they don't think nothing could ever come about from it. There's some that actually think like that. Okay. Amen. And we got to understand and remember that the Lord is not the one to speak in vain. He doesn't just talk to hear himself talk. He don't just say stuff and tell you not to do something for no reason. He ain't just sitting up there in heaven and going, you know, I'm just going to share these words with Brother Nate. Brother Nate, don't do such, such. Why, Lord? I don't know. I'm just saying so. You're not going to get that from him.
You're not going to get them. Whether it is a business decision, or even if just playing your plain walk in Christ, when you are told by the Lord not to do something and you do it, that is a sin of commission, and that can open up a door for curses, okay? Hallelujah. There's people who have, according to this verse right here, have lied. And because of that lie, they are getting killed. Amen. And I'm telling you, it is a very serious thing, people, when the Lord tells us not to do something that we obey. That we obey. You know, it makes me think of things in my life personally where the Lord told me not to do something, and my hard-headed self went ahead and did it, and boy. Amen. Because, see, the Lord, he instructs us. It's just like if when God deals with you about staying away from satanic stuff or stay away from that which is of the devil, and we don't listen and go ahead and do and commit to it. See, we open up a door for curses to come, okay? Amen. And here's the thing, too, with some people that they don't understand, and I told them years ago, like, for example, this subject online here. One of the biggest things, I said one of them now, people, not, I said one of, one of the biggest things that you may and have catch many people lying on is income tax. You have people claiming something, everybody's dick child, you know what I'm saying, just to get more money. You have people dealing with one another. Hey, you carry my child and say you take care of him and we split the money. You had all the, and see, there are people that have been caught by the IRS behind line on the income tax. And one thing about the IRS, when they catch you lying, they like to hit you deep. Amen. They like to hit you deep. They will go back, they'll try to go back as far as you on you as they can. And to me, sometimes make me think just to get more money out of you. Because as the young folk would say, there's something serious, okay? The power that has been given to them to be able to enforce and do. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you out on your income tax and you claiming little Billy, that you take care of little Billy, you know little Billy ain't never been to your house. But you and this guy, you and this woman, who child it is, y'all done made that deal so you can get a bunch of money, and y'all gonna, and you agree to give them so much for you to lie to get that money. Christian, you think the Lord is not looking at that? Think notes is not being taken on that? Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Amen. You know, there was a situation here where I live at where there was a particular person doing people taxes, and they was even using social security numbers of people that were dead. But then finally, IRS caught up to them. And I don't remember how the glitch got out, but wow. Hallelujah. So, sins of commission, once again, is that sin that you commit where God tells you not to do something, and you do it anyhow, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. And once again, that can open up a door for a curse to come in your life. Amen. And if you ever is praying and you say, man, I don't know. You say, well, I heard some Christians say, keep a repentant heart, but I just can't think of anything I need to repent of. Well, think of this right here. Has there been anything that you've done that God told you not to do? Whether it's the word from the Bible or a personal word that God gave you by a particular situation? Is there an act that you committed that the Lord told you not to do? And if you think of it and you come up with one, then repent of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Repent of that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Very important, people. Very important. Especially, you know, as I go more into the series on curses. Now, let's look at our next one. And let's go to the book of James, chapter 4. The book of James, chapter 4. The book of James, chapter 4, verse 17. Now, here's our second one here. Amen. Our second one of the two is called Sins of Omission. Sins of Omission. Now, the sin of omission is when the Lord tells us to do something and we don't. Sin of omission is when the Lord tells us to do something and we don't. Look at James chapter 4, verse 17. It said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. When you know it to do good. When you know it to do what God told you to do and you didn't do it, God is sin. It's sin. Hallelujah. The Lord told you to do something and you didn't do it, repent. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. See, here's another thing that I've gathered, especially concerning those who claim to be Christians. They have tuned in to the speaking of the Lord being a loving God and merciful and gracious God so much that they can't comprehend or can't see him being a God of judgment. Yeah. They quick say, well, you know, Jesus love. And I say, yeah, you're right. He is love. But he's also a God of judgment. You know, it's just like you have some people, you know, when I was growing up, one of the people I would see that would get taken advantage a lot of, you know, people would take advantage of a lot, would be what was referred to as the tenderhearted person. Person who were very tenderhearted, do whatever, say what, you know, try to help, try to be nice and all that. And I remember when I was growing up how that they was of the group of the people that, you know, many people went to take advantage of, okay? And see, the Lord, you know, he means what he say, even in the direction or instruction that he give you. I'm talking to you, Christian, that's listening, whom at one time before you got a word from the Lord to do something, you didn't do it. And in your mind, you're thinking, well, It wasn't all that important anyhow. Well, if God told you to do it, it is important, okay? If the Lord told you to do it, it's important. You got to remember, once again, he's not going to tell you nothing in vain. So if he tell you to do something, then it's important that you do it, plain and simple. It's important that you do it. Hallelujah. And you have too many Christians who don't see God as a God of judgment. So even if he tell them to do something and they don't do it, they think nothing's going to come out of it. Ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't nothing going to come out of it. Oh, what a wake-up call is coming for some of God's people. Amen. Who think it's such a matter? Because you even got some Christians, they don't even want you to tell people about God's judgment. They don't want you to tell people to repent or you're heading into hell or lake of fire. They say, well, don't tell people that. You're going to scare them. Well, it's not my intent to scare anybody, but it's my intent to tell them the truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Our last scripture here. And we're going to look at the very, very first verse. We're still dealing with the sin of omission. When God tell you to do something and you just simply don't do it. Amen. And some of you, the type of mind thinking that you're doing, you thinking that, nothing going to come out of this. You know, I just didn't do it. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Lord said, men ought to always to pray and not to faint. But we tend to do the vice versa. Amen. We tend to do the vice versa. Hallelujah. So when the Lord tells you to pray and we don't, that's what? The sin of omission. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may, you know, sometimes people try to be slick about it. Some of you may come up and say, well, you know, the Holy Ghost didn't tell me to pray, but you got the Word of God. The Word of God tells us we should pray. See, that's why we're given as Christians the Spirit and the Word. If the Spirit ain't signified to you to do something, then do what the Word says. Point blank. We still have to live by the Word of God. Okay? So do what the Word says. Hallelujah. And see, many of they're gonna be some of God's people gonna see in these last days why it's gonna be so important that you have a prayer life. Because see, people is going to have to know Jesus for themselves personally. Listen, the stuff that's going to get ready to come about, you as an individual is going to have to know for yourself, not through hearing someone else, that Jesus is real and he can do what he say he's going to do. You're going to have to know that personally. And one of the ways you get to know Christ, I said one of them, is through prayer. You have some of God's people that won't even pray. But it's a sin of omission when you are told to do by God and you don't do it. That's a sin of omission. Sin of commission, sins of omission, either way you go, either one of them can open the door for curses. Now, as I continue the series and things about curses, like I said, some of y'all are going to see why I broke this thing down, certain fragments, where this would apply, okay? The Lord told me sometime back here last year to do one on curses, a series on curses, and do a by on curses. Because, see, some of God's people has not been taught about this. And so they're saying or they're doing things or they're doing what God told them not to and not doing what God told them to do. And, you know, they think nothing of it. And then stuff hit and happened, and so they're upset with God, failing to understand that, okay, you did this. You opened up this door. But see, some of their leaders in the among the congregation is not telling them, not teaching them, is not letting them know. People, listen, curses are real. Whether you want to accept it or not, curses are real. And a curse don't stop doing what it does simply because you wants to, I'm going to think positive. I'm going to think, listen, if you have committed a sin of commission or a sin of omission that had opened up a door for a curse, okay, hallelujah, unless you go the way the word said to be delivered from that curse, I don't care how much positive thinking you try to do. You know, there's a lot of that. And don't get me wrong, thinking does have a part in our lives. But when you are in sin, Jesus said, repent. He didn't say, think positive thoughts. Well, let me tell you something. When that curse hits you bad enough, it's hard for you to think some positive thoughts, people. If that curse wind up being a sickness, it's hard for you to think positive during when sickness is hitting you. And I mean hitting you hard. See, listen, these prideful acting people who think that they're bigger than life, amen, and think that, you know, I had one guy to tell me, he said, I got a high tolerance for pain. I said, yeah, but you may have it to a degree. But you ain't got overall tolerance for pain, because I tell you, it's some pain that'll hit you, it'll make you break down. It ain't all about that tough guy image you walking around and, yeah, I'm a tough guy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sins of omission and sins of commission can lead curses being put on your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's very important that we as people, that whatever God tell you not to do, don't do it. And whatever God tell you to do, do it. Okay? Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, for this day you blessed us with on this broadcast. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will bless every soul that was tuned in for your glory. Strengthen them and keep them and preserve them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for blessing us to come to the end of the broadcast, even though it's not the end of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you who listen. Once again, this is Brother Nate.
with the Church Christ Alive's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.